There we go. You want to be very sure. So when you come in here and do a file, come on, we can do it. Visual Studio is busy waiting for whatever. Okay, so we will wait for it patiently to decide that it's all right. Okay, so I do a file new. If I want to do a new, it's file new project. Okay. And the key thing is to browse and find where you want to put it.
Okay.
And just to remember that. You also want to create a directory. Now, if you have the community version, only, I think it's these two that come up, but this one, the solution name doesn't. But if you, once it comes in and you say save, you then have those options.
Okay.
But the options, you want to make sure that you created a directory for the solution. Because when you zip it up, if every solution has its own directory,
it'll bring it
it's
all.
A lot easier to zip it up. You want to go through the browse and do the F. if you don't like where you save it, so what? Finish it off, find it, and then do a search and find it, and then move the whole folder, or zip it up and move it. And then
I feel like it's easier if I just send you the link and it just downloads right away.
That's fine.
I.
But you still need to zip it, and when you put it up on CIS web.
Yes, that's exactly what I did, because you told me to leave the zip file into the HTML, which I did, and then you resent me back what was wrong with the file, but I just gave you the link instead.
Okay. And I will see if I got it. But the important thing, as I said, is to use this browse. Go find where you want to put it and put it where you want it. The biggest problem people run into is moving it midstream. And if you look down at the properties at some point, you can see that it's setting all kinds of paths and everything. And if you change it midstream, it really messes it up. Okay. Today, as I said, I want to look at a bunch of stuff that are in two places. One is this loop combo. Okay. So I've got a bunch of stuff in there. And then if you go to Programs VBNet, and then go to these if examples, I want to look at the files. Okay. So as you go to VBNet, as opposed to VB... Okay, so you want to come in here, and you want to go to VBNet, as opposed to all the ones with the numbers. Okay, because I just have some examples on the VBNet, and I didn't bring them over. They run fine. Usually or frequently, you will get something where it's going to say that it's upgrading and it's going to, you know, you're not going to be able to go backwards, but that's fine. If you ever for some reason want to go backwards, it's out on the web, so you can go get it. So just let it do its upgrade thing. Okay, so I'm going to VBNet. Okay, why am I getting that? That's fine. That's why. I don't want that on top of that. And then go to Programs VBNet, and then I want to look at these with files. Okay? So if you download in VBNet, I did it this way, all the programs in here are zipped up, and then for some reason I gave you the version. But if you unzip those, you'll see the file ones inside this if program zipped. and I believe I've already unzipped it. So, okay, so this is where I went. I went to VBNet, if examples, and then files. And I've got one that is doing reading and one that is doing writing. These are not the ones that we're going to look at later on. We're going to look at more sophisticated ways of doing this, but these are just some basic ways to read and write a file. So I'm going to open the right one because I need to write before I can read. And this is what I said, what comes up. It comes up and says one-way upgrade will automatically make changes and store a one-way upgrade. And that's fine. I'm more than willing to let it do that. So I just click OK. Whatever this is. Okay. Yeah.
Which one are we
opening? Inventory write. If inventory, if in then write. Okay. And where it is it's under if program zipped in there someplace. Under if program zipped. I had it downloaded onto my F drive under VBNet, and then if examples, and then files, and then if in then write.
So it's under if examples, then files, then if in then write. And I, as I said, unzipped it onto my flash drive, so I have it.
So once you get if examples, wherever you downloaded that to, it has a folder called files, and then it has a folder called if in then write, and that's the one that I opened. Have you got it?
Do after it pops up, it says review project, because I hit OK and it just won't pop up.
Basically, it was written in an older version of VB, and so it's upgrading it.
Because it tries to pop up the web page or the HTML.
So it just, it's doing the revision. this way, and then we're going to look at one that actually we did on the CIS 120. In this particular version, it is going to default to saving that file in the bin for this particular program, and we'll follow that trail and see how it happens. But first, I have on load. So when this gets loaded, I'm going to open the file. And I say file open 1, meaning the first file is 1. If I had two files here and I wanted to open them both, I'd have another line that said file open 2. And I can keep opening files. The name is there. I didn't put an extension on it. You can. I did in other examples where I called it a text. Okay, because it's creating a text file. So I'm going to change this and just say 2 and then put a TXT. Okay, so I'm making invent2.txt. And I want to open it for output. So open mode is set to output. That's because I want to write, so obviously I want output. Okay. Okay, now, in this particular one, I have a button right click. And when it clicks, I tell it to go do the right subroutine for no good reason other than I just chose to do that. So I have a subroutine there. And I created the subroutine just by putting subright there and then putting the two parentheses and putting an N sub at the bottom. I could have just as easily taken this code here and put it up under the private sub button right and had it executed there. Okay? But whatever I was doing when I was doing this, I obviously wanted to explain a subroutine, so I went and put a subroutine in there. So that's just subwrite. I wrote that. I created subwrite. Notice it doesn't have all of the stuff that happens when Microsoft creates it for me. So I just have subwrite with the two parentheses because it's the right procedural function. And then I've got an end sub down here. Okay. So then I said, okay, I'm going to take the stuff from the form and put it into word areas, and then I'm going to write the line. And the write line, I'm writing to file 1, and I'm writing those four work areas. When I'm all done, I just say, click the end. I here am writing a line that has a end of file marker, basically. I'm putting in my own end of file marker. I didn't have to, I just did. So I have an end of file marker. And so I put that in, and then I closed. Okay? So I'm doing a write line, and I wrote the 9999, and then I wrote a space, and then I wrote 2 zeros. Because the line has 4 fields in it. So I put the 9999 as an item number, the space as the item name, and the 2 zeros as the on hand. So I just wrote an end of file record. That record is an end of file record. Okay. So now when I come to run this, I'm going to say start. Come on, you can do it. Go. Okay, so this is my form, and I'm putting in 1, 2, 3, item name, table, on hand, 23, on order 2. And then I'm clicking write. Then I'm clearing, and I'm putting in 222, chair. Yeah, right. 21:45, and I'm writing it. And then I clear, and I put in a 333, and this is a computer. And on hand 4, and on order 12, and I write it. And then I can clear if I want to, but now I'm going to write end, and so it wrote out the end of file marker.
Because as long as I click end, it does the end of file marker, and then closes the file and ends the program.
Okay. So now I'm going to open the next one, or actually first I'm going to go find this. Okay, so it is on my, I think I was on the F drive, and in VBNet, and in if examples, and files, and inventory write, and then I'm going to click on bin, and there it is. Okay, the one that I just wrote is right here, in bin 2.
2017, so that's the one that I just created, is right there. So it's in the bin for this program.
Okay, the folder that it creates includes a bin, and it automatically put it into the bin. Okay, so now I got a problem though. Because my problem is I want to read this file now. Okay. So I want to read this file, and this thing is acting up again. Okay, so I'm going to copy this file. And I'm going to go back to my files. I'm going to open up ifinvenread. I'm going to go to the bin, and I'm going to paste it into the bin.
So I went to the read program, and I pasted it in. And we're going to look at a quick and easy way to have it stored in a general place next. And then we'll get into, when we get later in the semester, we'll get into much more files and databases.
But this is just the assignment I gave you. I asked you to write a file. And so this is a quick and easy way to write a file. So I put inven2 right in here under the read program in the bin. So now I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to close the write. And I'm going to open the one called read. So I'm opening this one, and I am going to run it. And again, it asks about the one-way upgrade, and I'm clicking OK. And this is what it tried to bring up last time, and you just make it go away. Migration report. And now I'm going to click on inventory. Notice, by the way, on both of these, they're putting it puts in current thing as part of the conversion of the bits. So now, if you look down at the bottom, I open the file, and I am remember that I call this now inven2.txt. Was what I called it, so I've got to change it there.
And this time I'm opening the load as input because I want to read this file.
Okay, so now I'm going to run this. And I am going to come down here and click on the read button. And it reads the first record.
Okay, so the read button read the first record. I have a calculate button there that is checking up on it. So if I hit the calculate button, it tells me that I need data. Okay, so for whatever algorithm I'm using, I need data.
Then if I want to, I can clear, and then I can read the next one, which was a chair, and that's no order needed. And I can read the next one, and that's a computer, and I'm hitting calculate, I need to order that. And I got an end of file indicator as well. So, let's look at the code on this for a minute. Come on. Okay, so here's my checkup if something is less than 20 and something less than 3 daughter of the water needed.
Okay, the read. And again, I have the read button.
And I did it in a subroutine. So the read button simply says, go do the read subroutine.
Read, parenthesis, close parenthesis. We're going to just read subroutine.
So with the read, I'm saying, input from file one, work item number. If work item number equals all nines, then put up a message box that says end of file read. Reached and make the read false so I can't try to read again.
So I make the read button go away so somebody can't press it and hit it after I've hit it in the file. Message box, now we use much more message box.show, but for quick and dirty, this works just fine. And when I'm using message box debug lots of times, I use MSG box rather than write out message box.show. Okay? It's just easier.
And so I've written out message box.show. Oh, I'm sorry, I've written out message box. If it is not end of file,
then I come in here and I input, excuse me. I take and I say work item number and assign it to the text box so I can see it.
Okay? And then I read the next thing. Okay? So I input,
when I'm reading it this particular style, I have to read one record at a time. So I read the first ID. If it was 999, I said end of file. If not, I said okay. Then take what is in there that came in and put it in the text box. Now read the next field, put it in the text box. Now read the next field, put it in the text box. Now read the next field, put it in the text box. So I have to go through field by field.
Clearly they don't want you reading files very much. Okay, they would much prefer you do a database. So I go through and I, one at a time, I read the records. And then I've got the file close and I have the clear and I think that's it. Okay. So that's one way of doing it. Now, back in CIS 120, if you go in So if I go back to CIS 120 and I look at programs, Visual Basic, and see the ones down here, creating a file, reading a file.
That's another way that you can create and read a file. So those two right there are two of those things you can use to create or read a file.
And I've got those, so I'm going to take a look at those. Questions, guys?
I just lost my phone.
I don't want you not to know where these are. Okay, so these are in CIS 120. If you go into Programs, Creating a file, reading a file, we looked at those back in 120. It's just another way of doing it. Okay. Is there a problem, or what's gone wrong?
I'm feeling like I'm always running into a problem with Visual Basic. I don't know, I put the file into the folder, it just won't run the whole thing, I don't know. I put the file into the bin folder, and then when I go to read it...
Did you change it in the text?
Yeah, I changed it to the file name to number two.
Okay. Because all you should have to do is just copy and paste it into the bin, just the one file. Take that one thing out of the bin and not even take it out, just make a copy.
Yeah, as long as it's in the read folder, right? So I'm in the read bin.
Is in bin 2, okay, so now let's see the program.
Should I reopen the program? Or?
You have to open the read program.
The name of it, you put it in the bin. Those are the things that have to be done. I don't know. Okay, so let's open the ones from VB 120. And the first one, okay, so the ones from 120.
I put them on my flash drive again. But these are Project Write Text and Read Project are the two ones that came from 120.
Okay. So I'm going to change and say Project Write Text. And this is just another way of doing it. They've got, there's at least a a dozen ways, I think. Okay, this one lets me choose
my location. Okay, so this one lets me choose the location. I'm saying my computer file system write all text, and I get to put it where I want to. And I said, because I was at home, that I wanted it on the G drive in the project write text folder, and the name was studentf11.txt.
But the point is that if I go in there and change the location and put it wherever I want to put it, then I don't have to move it when I go to read it.
I can just make sure that the path is right, and I will go in and read it. Okay? So that's the difference. And that first one I showed you, we had it physically being moved by us. In this one, I'm putting the path here.
So if I want to change this and say I want to put it on the F drive, and let me see where I want to put it. I'm going to put it on the F drive in VBNet, and I'll just put it in there. So I'm going to put it on the F drive in VBNet, and I'm going to call it Student Spring 17. I'm just going to call it STU. So I'm now telling it where I want it to go.
And the write line, if I use this, is in data write as a string and write out the fields concatenated with a comma. So I am actually doing a write.
So if I run this, I'm going to take and put it in 111 monitor. Oh, it's students, I guess this is. So, John CI, and I click write, and then I've got 222 Ann CI, write it 333. I just wrote 333, apparently. Write it, and then end ends the program. So I wrote out four records. One was incomplete, but I wrote out four. Now, I don't have to move the file, but when I do the read, I've got to make sure that I have the same address so that it can find it. Okay, so I called it Stu S17. I put it in VBNet on the F drive. So now I'm going to close file, close solution, file, open, and I'm going to open read project. So the only thing I have to do is come in here and change the address. And obviously I wouldn't have to do this if I was doing this multiple times. Once I've got the address changed and I'm keeping it in the same place, then I'm all set. I think I called it Spring 17 and not Fall 17. Does anybody remember? We'll find out. So I've changed that. And now if I hit read, yeah, I called it spring.
Now if I hit read, it reads. So up at the top of the screen there, I set the path.
And I said, okay, this is the path that I'm using.
Copy the reader as, and you just copy and paste that stuff. And then it's in VBNet, it's called SchoolS17.
And so I keep reading, and each time in this one, I'm checking for its end of file marker. And when it finds it, it says end of file reached, and I'm all done.
Again, I bring the stuff in one field at a time. So I say, current row equals my reader read file. And then current row 0, current row 1, current row 2, meaning current row is the record, it's a row, 0 is the first field, 1 is the next field, 2 is the next field. And I'm putting them all into the text boxes.
So those are two kind of straightforward ways to read and write. And you can play around with those and try to get whichever one you want to work for the assignment that I gave you, which was to create a file, among other things. So that will, you can use either one of these techniques to create the file. So if you like one better than the other, go with the one you like. This one, when I did the write, I should have mentioned this. When I did the write, I put a comma between each field. And in this one, I had to put it, but that's the delimiter. So that it knows 0, 1, and 2. The delimiter means the separator between the different fields. So I have to tell it it's the delimiter. If back when I created it, I put an asterisk or a slash between each one, then I have to tell it that's the delimiter. But I told it it was a comma delimiter. Okay. Okay. Questions? Okay, then what I want to do is, while I'm in VBNet, if we come back here, I listed a bunch of ones that I wanted to look at.
Muffins is the one I want to look at, and then we'll look at the faculty ones. Muffins, which is in a loops folder in VBNet CIS 56.
And it's in that same if examples, I believe. So if you go to Programs VBNet and under if examples, you will find that as well. So I'm going to open that file, open project solution, and I'm going to VBNet, and I'm going to if examples, and then if, no, I don't think that is what I wanted. I can't find it either. Files, maybe? No. Okay, one more out. Okay, now I've lost it. What did I do with it? Okay, I'm going to try the other drive just to see if I have it there. No. All right, see if I read my own directions. Well, ones we'll look at, which is in a loops folder, which is in VBNet CIS 56. Loops folder. So maybe I put it in the wrong place. No? Oh, yes, I did. All right. I gave you the wrong information.
Professor?
Hi.
Hey, I got a flat tire.
Wait a minute. What? This is a class, you know. You're in this class?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought.
No.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought it was flat tire. Anyways, I had a flat tire this morning, which is why I wasn't here this morning.
Okay.
So, all right, sorry.
That's fine. So, it's in loop combos, which is the one I told you to download. Sorry, I lost track of where it was.
It's in loop combos. The one you can download from the work area from my weekly schedule. Does everybody see the loops combos?
Okay, so you can download it from there. And then once you get into loop combos, you go into VBNet CIS 56. I really should fix this up a little. Then you go into loops, and then you bring up muffins, which is what I want to look at. Reassuring if the wheel was spinning or something. Okay, has anybody else been able to get it up? File. Open project muffins. Maybe I didn't click OK. Maybe I clicked cancel. Apparently, that's what I did. There it is. Okay, we looked at a one with muffins before. This is just another version of it that I wrote. And I wanted to point out a few kind of interesting things in it. Okay, so if I run this, let's run it first. And I say I would like a poppy seed and a blueberry. And again, quantity means I get the same number of each. And then I say calculate. And it comes up and tells me that I owe $7.60. Then I clear this out, and I'm going to get a cornmeal and a poppy seed and a cranberry, and I want three of each. And I say calculate, and it tells me $8.55. And at this point, if I want to get a summary, I can click on the summary button, and it tells me my highest sale is $8.55 and my average sale is $7.92. So it's calculating on my highest sale and my average sale. If I got a dozen, the dozen has to check on the discount for a dozen. It doesn't do the math and say you bought a dozen, therefore I'm going to give you the discount. You have to ask for the discount. Okay, so if you look at the code on this, in the other one I did, I believe I used the item collection to put things in. On this one, I have, when this is loaded, on the load event, then add these to the combo box. Okay? So I'm adding to the box. And if you go back and look at that box, okay, this is a list box, and I'm in the process of running, so I'm going to have to get out. This is a checked list box. Okay, so this is a checked list box. And when I run it, again, the checks come up. So it's a checked list box. And again, if you lose track of or and you're trying to figure out it from mine what things are, if you just bring up the form, highlight it, and come over here, it's going to tell you what kind of box that is. Okay, it's going to fill in the blanks and tell you the kind of box it is. So I've got a checked list box. So what I've got here is I take that box and I put a CLB, the checklist box, in front of it, and I add items to the box. So I'm adding those things to the box. And again, the alternate way of doing that is to go to the items collection in the properties and put it in. Okay, so this is the way I did it on this one. And I think I did it differently on the other one. But if I go to items collection, notice there's nothing there. So I didn't put it in with the properties, but I could have. I could have come here instead of bringing it when I loaded. I could have put it here in the properties, and then they'd be available. Okay? So those were my two choices. Last time, I believe I put it in items collection. This time, I put it in the load. Okay. And then I went through and I added 95 cents and did for a for statement there. So I said, for count equals zero to the count of the muffins. Okay. If it's check equals true, then I took and said, okay, take the quantity, multiply it by 0.95, and add it to the amount you've already got. And then reassign it to that amount. So I'm basically going through, and if it's a zero, one, two, three, zero checks the first thing, which I think is brand or something like that, formula or something. It checks the first one. So it starts at zero, it goes up to items count, but the count doesn't start with zero, so I have to subtract one. Okay, there are five, I think there are five muffins. So there's five muffins, so the count is five, but I want to go from zero to four in processing. So I take the count and subtract one, so that I'll go zero to four. And then I say, okay, get item check the count is pointing to. So I am looking to see if the zeroth one, which would be Bran, is checked. So if I run this, well, the zeroth one is cornmeal, sorry. So I'm looking first to see if cornmeal is checked. If cornmeal is checked, then I say take the quantity, which is right there, multiply it by 0.95, add it to the amount that you already have, which in this case would be zero. So add it there, and then put it back in the computer. And then I go through again, and this time it's one, which is brand. If that's checked, I do the calculation again, and it keeps growing. And again, if you want to watch these things grow or watch these things work, put a message box in there. And then you can watch it as the work amount grows as you keep adding to it. Okay, so once it's grown, I said, is the discount check equals true? If it is, then I
give them the discount. Then I say, okay, I know that for the summary, I want to keep track of the highest sale. So I say, all right, is the work amount owed greater than the work highest sale? Well, work highest sale is defined at the top as a goal.
And I'm checking to see if it's greater. The first time through this, it's going to be zero, so it's not going to be greater. So I'm going to put the work amount O in the work highest sale. The next time I do this, I have to check work amount O against the one that I just put in, the work highest sale. And if it's greater, then I change work highest sale. If it's not, I leave what's there. So if this sale is bigger than the highest sale, I move it into the highest sale. If it's not bigger, I leave it alone. And then I add the work amount O, to the total, because I know that with the summary I want the average. So I got to add it to the total, and I add one to my customer account. So these two are going to be used to figure out the average in the summary. So those two are being accumulated so that when I go to the summary, I have the total amount of the things that I sold and the total count of how many customers I sold to. Does that make sense? I can't tell from faces. Everybody's got a very neutral face. So if they never push the summary button, then I wouldn't care what the totals are. But if they push the summary button, I need to know the total of all the sales, and I need the one for the customers. So, I mean, basically, as I said, if you put in here a message box, I'm still running. If you put in a message box up here that says message box, work amount O. Okay, so I want to see work amount O. So if I go through this, and I'm going to pick poppy seed and cranberry, and I'm going to get two of each. So when I click on calculate, the first thing I'm getting is the 1.9, because it's gone through and it found one that was checked. The one that was checked was the poppy seed. It took the quantity, which was 2, multiplied it by 0.95, added it to work amount O. So I've now got a 1.9 there. So I click OK. And what did I just do? There we go. Now it's up to 3.8 because there were two checked. And so cranberry was the second one. It was also 2 times 95. So I had 1.9, 1.9, and 1.9 is 3.8. Right? So at this point, I've got 3.8. So this is from here. Okay, so now that's the last one that I have checked. So now I'm going to move on. next thing I do is I say, okay, was the discount check? No, it wasn't. So now I'm asking, is work amount owed greater than the highest sale? And I probably should have put a message box down there.
But since this is the first time through, the highest sale is going to be zero. This is 3.8. So it's going to say, okay, take and put the 3.8 in the highest sale. The highest sale started out with zero. It's the only sale I've made today, so it's obviously the highest sale. Okay. So then I put out the 3.8, so there is formatted in currency the 3.8. And I've added the 3.8 to the work total, and to the I've added 1 to the customer. So if I were to put a push summary right now, I would see the 3.8 is the highest sale, and I would see the average sale is 3.8 because the total divided by 1 is 3.8. So the average is 3.8 since I've only had one sale. Okay. So now I'm going to go in and I am going to clear, and I'm going to just get three of those, and that's it. So the message box comes up with 2.85, which is 3 times 95 cents. Okay? So it comes up with 2.85. Then it checks to see if this is greater than the highest sale, and it's not. 2.85 is not greater than 3.8. So it doesn't change highest sale. It leaves highest sale away the way it was. So I say, okay. And now I'm going to get a summary again. And the highest sale is 3.8. And it's now taken the 3.8 and added it to the 2.95 and divided by 2, because I've now had 2 customers. And so the average is, whatever it says there, 3.33. Okay, because I had 3.8 and 2.95. So that gave me 6.5 in the work total. And here I have 2 because I went through 2 things. When I divide 2 into 6.95, I get 3, basically. So that's where the 333 came from, because I had 2 sales, one of $3.80, one of $2.95, and I had 2 customers. So the average is going to be calculated that way, and the highest sale remained the first one because the second one was not bigger. Yes, no, maybe? Ask questions if you have them, guys. Otherwise, I've done my best. In all honesty, the best way to study this course is probably to go through the examples and make sure you understand them. And, you know, look
read
at...
Read and write was pretty easy.
Right.
That was pretty easy.
Except your computer wasn't happy with it.
Yeah. No, we actually found out what was the problem.
Oh, good. Okay, on this one, I've got the clear. I went through and I wanted to get rid of the checks. So I said, go from 0 to 4, hold on muffin, set item check modified by count, and make it unchecked. And that's one of those things, as I said, that's my complaint about Visual Basic, is if you were to ask me right now what that line says, I couldn't tell you. Okay? So I kind of, you know, you have to kind of keep a kind of a list, as I said, of some of the key words, like this is set item check state. My other complaint about all Microsoft products is they've gotten too fancy and their documentation, therefore, has gotten out of control. And 10 years ago, their documentation was fairly concise and to the point. Now it is almost unreadable at times. So I'm going through each one of those and basically setting the check state unchecked. Because I'm clearing. That's what I'm clearing. So I'm going to clear out the checks. So I'm setting check. Now I put an if statement in there where I asked if it was checked and then said it's unchecked. But it strikes me as it's just easier to go back and uncheck them all. Whether they're checked or not, make sure that their check state is unchecked. So I've got them all unchecked. I'm unchecking them all. And then the last one is if you hit submit. So I took the work highest sale and I said to format it to currency. There's another way of doing that is putting the C in and all that, but there's always a multitude of ways of doing things. So I put it in what I call format work highest sale. And then I set up work new line as character 10. Because if you noticed, when I got the summary, I had two things on two lines. And then I said, okay, as long as the customer count is greater than 0, take the total and divide it by the customer count, and that will give you the average. Format it. Set up a string to write, which is highest sale, concatenated with, and that underscore there means this is continued on the next line. So when I have this kind of message that I'm putting through, I say basically that ampersand followed by the underscore says I'm continuing this on the next line. Then I gave the formatted highest sale. I concatenated that with the new work line, which does a break for you. And then I concatenated it with average sale and the formatted average sale. And then I took a message box and I put it out on the message box with an OK only on the message box so that I can only print the OK. And if there was no data, if work customer wasn't greater than 0, then I said no data to summarize. And put it out. So in other words, if somebody hit summary before they had a sale, I would be seeing no data to summarize. I've got a concatenate and then a continue on the next line. The ampersand is a concatenate.
And the underscore is the continue on the next line.
questions? Okay, the others that I want to look at are all the same one almost, and I will bring one up and kind of show you, and then we'll see where we go from there. But those are under the faculty. Okay, so I've got faculty, and I don't remember which is which. Let's try courses first. What I'd like you to do is take a look at this, and we can go over it more if you have questions. But this is courses for the semester. And adding courses. And as I said, I don't think we're going to make it through all of these, so we'll look at them when we meet next. Okay, so what I'm doing here is, let's say this is spring. So I clicked on spring. And when I clicked on spring, it said courses for the spring semester. Then if I click on this, it's got a bunch of courses. So maybe I picked Oracle, and then if I click on add a course, it adds it in down there. And then I can pick programming logic and add that in. And then I can print VB and add that in. Okay, so I've added those three in. So I've got spring, and when I click that, it generated that line. I've got all of the possible courses there, or a bunch of possible courses. Okay. So now let's look at how that stuff got there. Okay? And one of the possibilities, obviously, is to look at the boxes. Whoops, not what I wanted to do. That box is called a combo box. Okay. So I've got a combo box there. I've got a list courses box, and why does it keep leaving me? A list box there. So I've got a combo box and a list box. So if I look at the combo box and go to the items collection, you can see that the items collection has fall, spring, summer. Okay. So I set those up with the items collection in the property. Then if I look at this box, and as I said, why do the mouse has suddenly decided, and I look at items collection, there's nothing in that box, because that's the box I'm writing into. And if I look at this box and look at items collection, I see a bunch of courses. Okay, so this is a combo box. This has a bunch of boxes. Actually, I think I called them the wrong thing. This is the combo box. And this is, well, that's also called a combo box. So they're both called combos. Okay. So both of those have a collection of things in them. So So if I now go and run these, button add courses. Okay, notice that's gone.
Okay, button add courses is cleared out there. Then I have other things that I can click on. And the main thing that I'm going to click on is click on spring or click on fall.
Okay. So if I say this is combo semester, selected index changed.
Okay, so this is a not a click event. This is selected index changed. So I have all of these here. And if one of those changes, then I am going to put it up in that box up there. Okay.
So if I click on spring, it puts it up. And it goes down to list courses and says courses for the spring semester. If I click on fall, it says courses for the fall semester. And notice I wanted a blank line after each of these, so I have add nothing. And that gives me the blank line. So I put out the add the courses for the CBO semester text, and I end up putting it out there.
And then I put out a blank line. And then I put out a blank line.
So if I do this again and say summer, notice I get a blank line there. I'm putting a blank line every time. So this one had it all set up, and we'll come back, well, actually, we'll come back and look at all three of these. Next week, as I said, because we're out of time, next week, as I said, is going to be a lab day. Okay, I'm not going to be on campus next week. So the only day that we're missing is Thursday, because Tuesday is Monday's classes. So Thursday's going to be a lab day. Eric is going to be in here from 9:30 in the morning till about 5 at night. It's a catch-up day. Come, spend as much time as you can, get caught up. And with Eric here, that means that if you run into a problem, you can get a question answered. Okay, and I'm looking at you specifically because you've had a bunch of questions, and that would be a good time to just plan to come in here and spend as much time as you can on Tuesday.
Yeah, so what day is that? Monday?
He'll be here and I'll put up his exact hours.
Okay.
Because he's changed them a little and he's going to send me an email. But Tuesday, which is Monday's classes, he's going to be here to help my Monday class.
Okay.
So he'll be here at 11. But he's just going to have an open lab, so you're welcome to come at 11 on Monday as well.
In this room?
In this room. Then on Thursday, I have classes from 9:30 to 2. He's going to be here all that time and a few hours afterward. So he's going to be here from 9:30 till something like 5 in the afternoon. Okay? So basically, take advantage of it, get caught up. It seemed like I needed a day. Your grandparent even, it seemed like you all needed days to get caught up. So it all seemed to work out very well. You get a catch-up day and I get a grandparenting day. Okay?
Sure.